Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christian religion is not a theoretical thing. It's not about simply holding membership in some Christian church. To practice our religion, to be a Christian, is not about theoretically holding to certain doctrines or reciting certain words or going through certain motions on Sunday morning. Our religion is about knowing and cherishing the grace of our God and the forgiveness of sins that is ours in Christ. And then, as those who cherish God's grace, devoting ourselves to showing that kind of grace to others. Now, cherishing God's grace doesn't mean his commandments have become irrelevant. It doesn't mean that sin is somehow acceptable or that good works aren't necessary. But in today's parable of the workers in the vineyard, Jesus shows us what it looks like to cherish his grace on the one hand and what it looks like to despise it on the other. Those who cherish God's grace and goodness will remain in his vineyard, experiencing his goodness and generosity forever, while those who despise his grace will be cast out, regardless of how hard they've worked. Jesus told his disciples the parable of the workers in the vineyard just before Holy Week began. He had been upbraiding the Jews for their unbelief, showing them how they had been given every opportunity and benefit by God, and yet when their God came to dwell in their midst and speak to them in person, in the flesh, they didn't recognize him. And not only didn't they recognize him, they didn't want a God like that, who came to save sinners. They wanted a God who recognized them for how hard they had been working. Now, unlike the unbelieving Jews, Jesus' disciples had put their trust in Jesus. But they were susceptible to the same temptation that the other Jews fell into, focusing on their hard work and everything they had done for God and his kingdom, instead of focusing on God's grace revealed in Christ. They pointed out to him, in the words just before our text begins this morning, how they had left everything in order to follow Jesus. And he promised them that everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now there's comfort there in what Jesus said, but there's also a warning. When you start to focus on how much you've given up for Jesus, how much you've left behind, how hard you've worked, especially compared to other people, how little they seem to have given up or suffered or worked. Be very careful to remember that heaven is and must be a gift of God's goodness and grace, earned for you not by yourself, but earned for you entirely by Christ. It's a reward for not for hard working or service. It's a reward of God's grace. You're still sinners who deserve only God's wrath and punishment. And yet, he doesn't want to punish sinners. He wants to save them at great cost to himself and to give them eternal life as a gift. So cherish God's grace and don't despise it, thinking you've earned God's acceptance or heavenly blessings by how hard you've worked. To illustrate that point, Jesus tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard. The owner, the master of the house, goes out early in the day right at sunrise to find workers in the marketplace, workers for his vineyard. He found some men standing there in the marketplace and hired them, agreeing with them that at the end of the day, for a full day's work, he would give them one denarius, which is a day's wages. That's like how God went out early to the Jewish people, the people of Israel, at the time of Moses, and made a covenant with them to be their God and to give them the land of Israel if they would live under God's law that God gave to Moses and obey it. It's also like how God has called many Christians to do much and to suffer much for the sake of his kingdom. And we all agree at the beginning that heaven is worth any amount of sacrifice or suffering here. Then the owner of the vineyard goes out a few hours later, still looking for workers, and he finds some men still doing nothing there in the marketplace and hires them and agrees simply to pay them whatever is right. And they agree. They're happy to have that work and trust that the owner will give them whatever is right. No wage is set, no covenant is made based on a certain amount of work that the workers have to do. They're leaving it all up to the master's honesty, his righteousness, and his goodness. And the same thing happens a few hours later in the day, and a few hours later, and even a couple hours after that, with only 1 hour of work left in the day before quitting time. In each case, the owner agrees to give the workers whatever is right at the end of the day, and in each case, they're happy with that arrangement and go eagerly into the vineyard. This is like how when the Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry, he went out into the land of Israel and called Israelites who were thieves and swindlers and prostitutes and adulterers. People who had lived their whole lives as members outwardly of the Church of Israel, but who had never embraced the grace and love of God, who had lived openly contrary to his commandments, who hadn't been working in his vineyard at all. In his grace, in his free favor, Jesus called them to repent of their sins and to believe in him. And when they did, he sent them into his kingdom to work, not as slaves, but as sons and daughters. It's also like how the Lord called Gentiles into his kingdom even after that. Gentiles, non-Israelites, had lived separated from God, each one going his own way, following his own path, believing in his own God, until the Lord called them through the gospel to know the only true God, to repent of their idolatry and believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. He promised to give them whatever is right, not based on the works they had done, but on his goodness and mercy and faithfulness and righteousness. This is how the Lord has called everyone, really, in the New Testament era. Some have labored more than others and suffered more than others and given up more than others depending on when they were called and the circumstances of their calling. But all are called simply to trust in the goodness and righteousness of the God who called them, to do whatever work he lays out for them in his kingdom, and they all gladly go. But what happens at the end of the day? The Lord of the vineyard wants the first workers to be paid last after those who were hired later. So those who worked only 1 hour came, and he gave to each one that denarius, a full day's wages, although they had worked only 1 hour. And he did the same with those who had worked only 3 hours or 6 hours or 9 hours. Imagine how happy these people were, how much they cherished the grace and goodness of that landowner to receive a full day's wage for less, and in some cases far less than a full day's work. Imagine how appreciative they were of his generosity. Finally, the first workers stepped forward, and Jesus says that they who had worked the longest watched as these others were paid that full day's wage, and they thought, we've worked the whole day, he's going to give us more. But each one received the same as the rest, the one denarius they had been promised, and that they had agreed to at the beginning of the day. And they grumbled and complained and were bitter and angry with the Lord, who then reminded them that they got exactly what they agreed to and exactly what he had promised, and that he had the right to do what he wanted with his own things, and then showed them that it was they who were being envious and evil by begrudging those other workers what they received and by complaining at the landowner. They were jealous at the end of the day that the landowner handed out the same reward to everyone. By grace, those other workers had been rewarded through faith in the goodness of the Lord, not by works, so that no one could boast. Maybe those words remind you of that famous passage that St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Now that one verse, that one statement in Scripture is cherished by some and despised by others. It's cherished by those who recognize that their works fall short of the glory of God. It's cherished by those who know their sins and the weight of their guilt has pressed heavy on them. It's cherished by those who admit the truth that they don't deserve anything from God but wrath and punishment. And yet God came along and gave his Son to be our Savior, to do all the work that God's law required that we do. God gave his Son into death even to pay for our sins and bad works, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, not by being righteous enough ourselves, but by God counting the righteousness of Christ to those who believe in him. That same truth, however, is despised by those who refuse to admit their sins and their utter inability to help themselves, who think they've done such good things for God, when in reality God views it all as filth if it was done apart from faith in his beloved Son. The truth of grace is despised by those who love their sins too, because God's grace isn't given to those who view themselves as their own gods, walking and living according to their own sinful desires. It's given instead to those who look to him as their God, in humility and in repentance. The truth of salvation by grace alone is despised by those who want grace for themselves, even as they would deny it to others. So learn a lesson today from the workers in the vineyard. Did you make a good beginning in the Christian faith, like the first workers in the Lord's field? Were you baptized early in life? Well, good. Just remember, the first workers in the parable made a good beginning too, as did the Israelites who left Egypt with Moses, crossing the Red Sea with him, as Paul referenced in today's epistle, baptized into him in the Red Sea. But as Paul also says in the epistle, what happened to those very first Israelites whom God redeemed from slavery in Egypt? With most of them, God was not pleased, for they were struck down in the wilderness. Tens of thousands of them struck down for their rebellion and their unbelief. Have you been faithful at attending church, zealous to keep God's commandments? Good. Just remember, so were the Pharisees who hated Jesus. You know how they turned out. The longer they spent working hard under the law, the more their pride grew, and the more their desire for grace diminished. Their pride and their despising of God's grace in Christ made all their works meaningless, and they perished in unbelief. The first will be last, Jesus says, and the last first. At whatever point in life you heard the gospel and were baptized, whether early or late, remember that it is only by God's grace that you stand. So cherish His grace. Don't despise it. And because you know the grace and generosity of God, put your religion into practice each day. Use the means of grace, the Word of God, as preached and as administered in the sacraments. Pray, keep God's commandments, and bear the heat of the day. And while you work, keep beating down the serpent's seed of pride, so that you stay with Christ, so that you always hope to be saved only by grace, only for the sake of Christ, never because you think you earned it. This is how you run the race, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the epistle, in order to win the prize. May God keep you in His grace all the way to the finish line. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.